Dr. John Kurtz.
Hello and welcome to Wildcat Insider. John Kurtz joined by the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Mitch Fortner is back from South Carolina and with us as well today to run the show. Speaking of South Carolina and K-State baseball, they're off to their best start since 2011. And we've got Brad Hill coming on at 4:40, K-State baseball head coach. They've got their home opener this weekend as well. Big game tonight at home for the K-State women as they can knock off the Texas Longhorns and bolster their resume to try and get up to a four seed and host in the NCAA tournament. And things not going so well right now for the K-State men. Certainly we can field your questions and comments about that situation. You can get in touch with us at the Game KMAN on Twitter. Or as always, call the show 537-1350, 866-776-1350 to join us here on the show between now and 6 o'clock. That is where we're going to start with K-State basketball. It was, quite frankly, just not a good week all the way around last week. You lose at home to Oklahoma State and Brad Underwood in a game that you controlled in the first half. Blew a big lead and then let Oklahoma State win fairly comfortably down the stretch and then go on the road to Oklahoma and play your worst game of the year and lose by 30 to the last place team in the conference. It's the only game that's been decided by that many points in Big 12 action so far this year. So, you know, to start there, I mean, it's hard to sugarcoat a lot of what happened. We can dive into all the numbers and everything that happened out there against Oklahoma, but the bottom line is it just was not very good.
It was quite poor, wasn't it? It really was. I think at the end of the day, the shooting the basketball was not good. Bruce Weber said he was okay with the effort. I'm not sure that's necessarily the case with others, and I guess that's, you know, what we can maybe debate here with callers or what have you. But you said it perfectly. You can't sugarcoat it. It was a bad performance. It just was. K-State turned the ball over 17 times. They shot 25%. They had four assists on 14 field goals. I mean, like you say, you can talk about the numbers all you want, but it just was a performance that certainly is forgettable. But yet, kind of hard to get out of your mind, too.
Yeah.
It really, really, truly is. And you're right. I wonder out loud here if there was some carryover and has been some carryover recently to the game with Oklahoma State and maybe even prior to that. I think the guys – my take is I think this is a group that is bruised and battered and frustrated. When they started to get down a little bit on Saturday, I'm just being honest, I didn't think they fought as hard as they needed to fight. That's the truth. And it just kind of seemed to go from bad to worse.
Yeah, part of the frustrating aspect of it to me was that the first half – you're down by 13 at the half when Isaiah Maurice has almost half your points, mm-hmm. 8 of the 20. But Oklahoma really was not playing that well. They shot 32% in the first half. They were not doing anything that made you think they were going to run away from the game. So I guess to me that's where it felt like in the second half, all right, if they can make a run and get back into it, you know, this is an Oklahoma team that has only won 9 games all year and has not displayed in the first half any kind of ability to really run and hide from.
Well, those are the two things why you probably felt the way you did, because A, K-State has come back from those types of deficits previously and made a game out of it. And then secondarily, it wasn't necessarily like Oklahoma was playing off the charts. This is a team that coming into the game had lost 2 in a row and 9 of 10. They had a heck of a time trying to close out games. They've lost a boatload of close games. So even down at halftime 33-20, I'm thinking, we're still a part of this. You know, we can get back into this thing. But and K-State, I think, did have for a couple of 2 or 3 minutes there a decent start to the second half. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's 72-46 or whatever it was. And it seemed like it happened in the blink of an eye. It probably was a little longer than that, but it happened fast.
Well, and this was not – you'd think, if you would have told me 30 points is going to be the deciding margin here, K-State will lose the game to Oklahoma, I would think, all right, well, Oklahoma probably got hot from 3. Maybe it's a game, you know, like Iowa State has the game against Kansas where they knocked down 16 threes or whatever it is. Oklahoma was 5 of 21 from three-point range. I mean, they shot 44% for the game, which is okay, mm-hmm. but it's not anything that's going to necessarily blow the doors off. So that, to me, is where I find it hard. I have a hard time – accepting necessarily that the effort was okay. It just seemed we know that we've seen this team go toe to toe with Kansas and Allen Fieldhouse. They mm-hmm. went on the road and beat Baylor. They've beaten West Virginia. I mean, we know that they can hang with just about anybody in the conference. So I don't find a way, just with all this information that we have, to therefore go ahead and say that the effort is fine in a 30-point loss to the last place team in the league.
I understand that, no question about it. And it is hard to see it that way, to be honest. I still believe there is some carryover. Now, let me stop right there and say, I think Oklahoma got decent games from a couple of guys that they really needed good games from, and it hurt K-State. And I'm sitting here looking at the box score and thinking 17-10 for Kadeem Latin.
Right.
That was a big ball game for him. Rashard Odoms has really been good for them of late. He had 16 points, made 7 of 9 shots in some 32 minutes. Those two guys I thought were real good. Some of the others, you can argue, not quite as good. McGusty was 3 of 7. That's pretty ordinary for what he's been doing. And like you said, you pointed out 5 of 21 from 3, 44%. It's not like they shot 69 or 70% and just kicked you, you know? So, yeah, I understand the thought, certainly, without a doubt.
Well, I guess now the question becomes, and you've alluded to this a little bit, how much are things wearing on these guys?
Right.
They still have – I know this is not maybe what everybody wants to hear right now, but just being honest with you, if you look at the tournament projections and relative to the bubble where this team is at, I mean, they've got two games left in the regular season, at least one in the Big 12 tournament. You find a way to win three games the rest of the way, maybe mm-hmm. two.
Yeah.
You're going to be right there on the bubble on Selection Sunday looking at the TV screen, paying close attention because you will be in the picture.
Well, that's pretty well said. I think right now, I don't want to speak for anybody, but I think, though, thinking out loud, that a lot of K-State people are saying, are they really capable of that right now? Say, putting together a 3 or 4 game win streak with two games left in the regular season. Let's say a 3 game winning streak, winning the last two, and then getting one in Kansas City. I don't know how you feel about that. I would tell you, in all sincerity, I think it's kind of a long shot. It just seems like this has been going on now for a little bit. I mean, I even marked this on my score sheet today. That loss Saturday was their 5th and 6th games, and they've also lost 8 out of 10.
Yeah,
that's more than just a couple of games. That's pretty much trending downward. It isn't impossible, certainly. And I'm like you. They have proven before that they have the ability, certainly, to go do this. But I just wonder out loud here whether, you know, they will do it just based on what we've seen most recently.
Yeah, I think you look at each game individually and say, okay, could they go to TCU and win?
Sure.
I mean, TCU is literally in the conference on a level playing field with them at 6-10. They're also trending downward right now. They've lost 5 in a row.
Right.
K-State's won tougher road games so far this year. Then you come back home. Can you beat Texas Tech at home? I think sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You'd be playing, you know, you're looking at, what, 7 or 8 seed in Kansas City. I mean, could you win that first game? Yeah, I think sure. But they've only won back-to-back Big 12 games once the entire season, and that is where it just becomes hard to buy into them stringing anything together.
Yeah. On the other hand, you pointed out, I don't know if you can get two more evenly matched teams numbers-wise just across the board with this matchup that we're going to have Wednesday night in Fort Worth. Both are 17-12. Both are 6-10. They're tied in the conference standings for 6th. You look at the projections, both are in that area of the next 4 out kind of thing. I visited just very briefly today with their play-by-play voice, Brian Estridge. He said, what's your best win? I said, well, it has to be at Baylor. And you? Well, they beat Illinois State. I think K-State's got them by more than a nose there.
Yeah.
But yet, you get the point. It's a game. It's a toss-up kind of game. They have the home floor advantage, but I'm not sure that – I mean, it means something, certainly, but, you know, it's – this is a winnable game, and so is the game Saturday. And let's say that happens, and you get to 19. Now you're going to Kansas City next week as probably the 6th seed, and you don't have to play that. To me, that's one of the real keys, is can you get that? If you're probably going to be the 7 because you lose all the tiebreakers with TCU, And now you're looking at a Wednesday game with probably either Oklahoma or Texas.
Right.
As opposed to a Thursday game against West Virginia or Iowa State. That's what we're really talking about here.
That's a very good point to bring up that I hadn't even really considered the Big 12 tournament because, then you set yourself up for a game that could really help your resume.
Correct.
You know, if you get to that game that's going to be against a West Virginia, Baylor, whoever it may be, 6-3, then that's a big-time opportunity, and you would be giving yourself a chance. But can they regroup and rally? You know, I mean, I thought with the tweet that we saw from Wesley Iwundu a couple games ago after the Texas game, became clear that they're aware of it, all the noise outside the program right now. The fans obviously upset. And it just seems like things continue to unravel game by game. Then you have the worst game of the year against Oklahoma. That, to me, becomes the question more than anything right now, not what are they going to do actually out on the floor, but where are all these guys at mentally right now, because it's impossible to run and hide from all of it, as we well know.
Well, this is going to be an obvious statement, but the truth of the matter is those young men are like all the other young men at Kansas State. They just are. They just happen to be on the basketball team and be athletes. They all pay attention to SportsCenter. They all pay attention to the local news and sports. They all pay attention to Twitter and what all the other, whatever the others are, whatever, you know, Facebook, Snapchat, you name it, they're all a part of that. So they know. They're hearing stuff out there. They obviously know that. And so the point is that they hear the squawking. Probably has to have an effect on them to a certain degree, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
It would on me.
Yes.
It just would.
I think you have to understand that that is going to be a factor here. And to me, one of the biggest, we can talk about this. I had this kind of penciled in for 5-10. There were a couple things that happened after the game that to me are, I guess, eyebrow raising, slightly disappointing, and to me, I think, make the situation worse. And that is the players refusing to speak with the media, and Bruce Weber, in some ways, kind of calling out the media, I suppose, for criticism. And the player part, anyway, I guess, is the point that I'm trying to make here for right now, is that to me tells me, they're hearing stuff, they're not happy.
Sure.
And that leaves me questioning what's going to happen next. I mean, I really do not know what to expect with that game Wednesday in Fort Worth. I mean, that is going to be really interesting to see what actually happens out there on the floor.
You could probably take your pen and a piece of paper and lay out a game summary times 10 and maybe not hit it.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's been so difficult to try to project what's going to happen lately with these guys. It on the other hand, you might do a couple of two or three and nail one of them. You know, you just don't know. I think the perceive this as you will. I think the comments that Bruce Weber made, he left radio, okay? He left our broadcast location and then went into a media gathering, and it was in the tunnel, not back towards the locker room or in a, quote, press conference-type setting. There were just a handful of reporters around him there in the tunnel, and I think he just – one question probably hit him wrong, and – he didn't like it and responded that way. And, okay. Does he regret it? I don't know that. I haven't talked to Coach today. As a matter of fact, I think he just got back today from a recruiting trip. He left. He didn't fly back with us. He went on a trip to look at a player or two, I believe. And so I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. I don't want it to be perceived that I'm, you know, trying to lay this out as, you know, defending him either necessarily, because more times than not I would probably do that. In this case, it's hard to defend him because I haven't heard exactly all of the quotes of what he said, to be honest about it. And I just think we're dealing with a frustrated man right now is all I'm trying to say.
Agreed. And we do have the audio. We can play it at 5:10 because, I mean, I have some thoughts. And it's not just – some of this too – and this is where I like to be able to provide context, which I think you can in a radio environment like this. Things started to go down this road after the game on Wednesday at Oklahoma State. So this is a continuation of where the press conference was going on Wednesday against Oklahoma State. So clearly there's a lot that's cumulative here that's building up. This is not just about one situation, one question, anything like that.
Right.
Brad Hill's going to be on at 4:40, K-State baseball coach. Wildcats are 6-2 after going 3-1 in South Carolina over the weekend. When we come back, we'll check Twitter, see what you guys are chiming in with, and the K-State women have a huge game coming up tonight against Texas. We'll talk about what's on the table for Jeff Biddy's squad coming up. This is Wildcat Insider.